ask you this on September 6th. Let me ask you first. What is your
I'm a court reporter.
You're a licensed court reporter, authorized to take testimony in this court.
I'm authorized to take testimony in this court.
I'll ask you if on September 6th, 1968, you have key transcribed testimony or motion hearing held in this court?
Yes.
I'll show you that which reports to be a transcript of an excerpt from that motion hearing and ask you if that is a true and correct copy of the proceedings.
Yes, it is.
Show you on page 7 certain matters transcribed and ask if this page of this transcript is truly correct.
Yes, it is.
Would you please read to us lines 3 through lines 14 of that transcript?
This man has two cards and they have to sit.
Is this
Mr. Haynes speaking? Yes, it is. This man has two guards and they have to sit with him 24 hours a day, Your Honor. He has television sets on him 24 hours a day. He has bright lights, brighter than these, burning in his eyes 24 hours a day. This man cannot rest while he hides under a pillow or cover to sleep, Your Honor, and I think this is cruel and inhuman. And, Your Honor, and then Mr. Haynes was interrupted by the court. All right, Mr. Haynes, you are getting into matters of treatment of the defendant, and I think you should do this in writing. I think this is serious enough that whatever testimony we have be under oath, and you ask for whatever relief you want, and this can be a regular motion brought up before the court.
Ms. Lightwolf, did you transcribe, did you cover that hearing?
Yes, sir.
Was there any testimony offered in open court where any witnesses were sworn to verify the statement Mr. Haynes has made in that transcript?
Not that I recall.
That's all.
Ms. Lightwolf, this was made, Mr. Haynes was making the motion, is that not correct?
Yes, sir.
And trying to make the motion, His Honor requested. You made it right, is that correct?
Yes.
You know whether or not a defendant has the right to make the motion?
We stipulate that the defendant has the right to make a motion.
That's all,
Ms. Apple. Ms. Apple, for that being, I'd like to have it made an exhibit.
Yes, already does.
I don't believe it's been marked.
It has not been marked.
Just go ahead and handle them all, and we'll handle the argument. case by the learned friends of the court be dismissed on grounds that there is no proof in this record that the newspaper articles were in truth and in fact published. This obviously is what the court in its orders is trying to prevent, trial by newspapers, to allow this committee that has been appointed by the court to come in and present hearsay evidence against Renfro Hayes, and then for the court to consider that hearsay evidence and find him in contempt of this court, I submit is the very thing that Your Honor is trying to prevent in your orders, to prevent people from being tried in the newspaper. There is no proof that he made the statements. No one has testified on this witness stand that he made any statements. There's no proof that he had notice of the orders of this court. It's true that Captain Ray did testify that he took a list for security reasons, in which those who signed the list, the sign-in list, agreed that they would be searched. They would not bring any recording devices or cameras into the courtroom. And that was strictly for security measures. Did not indicate that Mr. Hayes had had any notice of the order of July 18th, July 23rd, and July 3rd. And also, we moved for dismissal on the grounds that Mr. Hayes' constitutional rights under the United States Constitution and the Constitution of the State of Tennessee guaranteeing him the right of freedom of speech is sought to be violated here. And with all due respect to Mr. Lucius Burge, and with all due respect to this court which appointed him, as a friend of this court, on behalf of the respondent Renfro Hayes, I want to observe for the record that Mr. Burge, who is apparently the chairman of this committee or the head of this committee, so happened to be the attorney for one Martin Luther King Jr. when Luther King was in Memphis some few days before his assassination. Mr. King was enjoined by the federal judge, Honorable Bailey Brown, from marching on Main Street in this city. And Mr. Lucius Burge Jr., the attorney, in this case, who is leading this committee and who is prosecuting this petition, was the attorney for Martin Luther King Jr., who went into federal court to oppose the court's injunction against Martin Luther King Jr. We point that out for the sake of the record to show the prejudice and the bias on the part of Mr. Lucius Burge, and that he should not, as I say with all due respect to Your Honor, who appointed him to this committee, that he should not have been appointed to the committee, and he should not be allowed to continue on this committee because of his personal relationship to Martin Luther King Jr.
What he says about my representing Dr. King is quite true. I represented Dr. King for the same reasons that I am representing the court as a member of this committee, in that I was asked and appointed to do it, and in good conscience, as I saw my duty, I could not fail to. I was asked to represent Dr. King by the American Civil Liberties Union. It's a mandate which I don't feel that any lawyer should turn down any more than I feel that any lawyer at this bar could refuse to represent the court. That's enough of that. Now, I believe that Mr. Livingston makes three legal inferences of a legal nature which are erroneous. First, as to whether or not this is hearsay as to his client, Mr. Renfro P. Hayes. Now, the exception to the hearsay rule in the case of statements made in the presence of the person to whom they are attributed and not denied is that silence gives assent. this statement has been served as part of the Riverside Officials on this case, and the only denial that has been made is in the conclusion of the pleader, which is in the answer, and at the proper time I will demonstrate to the court that purgation under oath is not the law of Tennessee, nor has it been for many years. Now, also I believe Mr. Livingston mistakes the nature of the burden of proof. The burden of proof is on us who are safe. But once the petition to show cause and the order to show cause has been made, then although the risk of non-persuasion remains with those who are responsible for the issue of the writ, the burden of going forward then is upon Mr. Livingston. There is a prima facie case established by a service of the statement which is at present denied in only a legally insufficient manner. So, for that reason, we believe there is no grounds to dismiss the order. At the proper time, we will argue the constitutionality, because I'm quite sure from what I read in the papers, also because I know he's a bit of a lawyer, Mr. Hay will raise the same question.
Yes, sir. I think this, Mr. Livingston. Your answer, Mr. Hayes. All you have to carry out are the emphatic said that the respondent Renfro T. Hayes emphatically denies each and every allegation set out contained in the aforesaid petition.
I think you're going to have to be pretty specific.